Luke 10:38-42. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Let's go into prayer before we turn to our message this morning. Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that your Spirit of truth would illuminate us to the intention and meaning of your word here recorded in Holy Scripture. And we acknowledge that by our own resources, our own natural wisdom, intellect, we cannot hope to comprehend and understand your truth, your word, as you've intended for us to understand it, Lord. We acknowledge, Lord, that even our understanding of your gospel, Father, is a work of your grace. We are completely dependent, Father, on your Holy Spirit teaching us, teaching those of us here who are spiritual, who have been born again by the Spirit, and who have in them the Spirit dwelling in their hearts. And we pray now for your blessing to be upon this word, the reading of your word, and may we heed, O God, your truth and your truth alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, there are some of us who are burdened by many anxieties and troubles. Maybe we're facing certain daunting issues which have unexpectedly come up recently, whatever those may be. Or maybe we're wrestling with problems that have persisted in our lives for the past several years, or for the long term. Maybe we found that while it is often the case that we're physically present in the pews, our minds are not, because our thoughts are occupied with these burdens. And because our thoughts are occupied by all of these burdens, our attention is distracted from the Word of Christ, both on Sundays and throughout the week. Maybe the complaint Martha directs towards Jesus in our passage for today is echoed in our own hearts as we've reflected on our own anxieties and troubles. Lord, do you not care? We find ourselves thinking that way lately. Lord, do you not care? Lord, do you not care that I'm overwhelmed, burdened, I'm at my wit's end, trying to resolve all these issues on my plate? Do something about it. Provide me with the resources I need to fix these issues that I'm dealing with. But the word of Christ to us in our outcry is likewise expressed in our text. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. We assume that our primary problem are these troublesome issues we are dealing with, and that what we need most right now is for the Lord to resolve these issues. But our text this morning informs us that the primary problem is not our issues which need fixing, but our anxious and troubled hearts, which draw our attention away from Jesus' word to us. Our anxious and troubled hearts. So what is at the root of our anxiety-laden lives? And how do we find lasting relief from these burdens? Well, let's turn to our passage for today and find out. As we turn to our first point, sit at the Lord's feet and listen to Him, because the Lord is God. As we'll read again from verse 38 to 39. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to His teaching. So in the cultural context of this incident in our passage, for someone to sit at a teacher's feet was to take the position of a disciple. But Jewish rabbis during this time period did not accept women as disciples. So for Mary to sit at Jesus' feet would have probably violated the cultural norms, the cultural conventions of that time. But Mary's desire to get herself as close as she could to Jesus so that she could catch every word and every nuance of Jesus' teaching overrode any commitment she had to traditional conventions and expectations of that day and age. But it looks like her action could have added fuel to the fire of Martha's growing frustration towards Mary. Martha may have grumbled to herself, "Not only is my sister neglecting her responsibility to help with serving the guests, but she's now sitting at Jesus' feet. That's scandalous. Who does she think she is? She's doing what is highly inappropriate for a woman to do." What do these opening verses of this incident teach us? Well, it teaches us that no cultural norm, convention, or expectation is more important than listening to the word of Jesus. When we're faced with the choice of either sitting at the feet of Jesus' teaching or conforming to certain cultural expectations, maybe even Korean cultural expectations, particularly for women, it is immeasurably more important to sit at the feet of Jesus and receive everything that His Word has to say to us. And the reason why it's immeasurably more important is because the Word of Jesus is the Word of God Himself. You'll notice that throughout today's passage, Jesus is referred to repeatedly as the Lord. See, we read in verse 39 that Mary sat at the Lord's feet. The New Testament's reference to Jesus as the Lord is far more than an honorific title. It's identifying Jesus as none other than God Himself. Everywhere else the Scriptures refers to the Lord, it refers to God Himself. This is what we read in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1 to 2. As an example, "Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me? And what is the place of my rest? All these things my hand has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord." In Hebrews chapter 1, powerfully introduces Jesus as the Lord, who is God. That's what we read in Hebrews 1. He, that's Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. That's something only God can do. Upholding the universe and its reality, its existence by the word of His power. And yet, that's how Jesus is described. And if we continue to read through the first chapter of Hebrews, it establishes Christ's divinity by contrasting Him to the angels. And this is what we read further on in Hebrews 1. Of the angels, He says, He makes His angels winds and His ministers a flame of fire. But of the Son, He says, Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of Your kingdom. Your throne, O God. This is referring to the Son. And again, in Hebrews 1, clarifies the divine identity of Christ further along. And You, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of Your hands. They will perish, but You remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like a robe You will roll them up. Like a garment they will be changed, but You are the same, and Your years will have no end. This is what is meant when we encounter the Lord throughout the Gospels. And it's no wonder why Mary set aside the norms of her day and age in order to take her place as a disciple at the Lord's feet. Because it was the Lord who laid the foundation of the earth and who upholds the universe by the word of His power who was speaking there in Martha's home. Nothing could be more important than listening to God speak. And nothing should be more important to us than to listen to the word of Christ, the Lord, our God. Which brings us to our second point. Sit at the Lord's feet and listen, because our distractions are rooted in anxiety and trouble. So we read on from verse 40 to verse 41. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to Him and said, Lord, do You not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. Sometimes this particular incident in Luke chapter 10 is interpreted as a contrast between two spiritual temperaments. Martha representing the active temperament, and Mary representing the contemplative temperament. And so, what is usually said about this text is something like this. Be careful. When we focus too much on our spiritual activity, we neglect the more important need for spiritual contemplation or meditation or learning. Well, I think that lesson can be derived from this incident. I think it's missing the main issue being addressed by the text. I think the text makes it clear that the main issue is how the problem of unchecked anxiety distracts us from Christ's word to us. This is what we read in verse 40. We read in verse 40 that as Jesus taught at Martha and Mary's home, Martha was distracted with much serving. Martha was distracted. So why was Martha distracting herself with the hustle and bustle of serving the guests in her home, when she ought to have been sitting down and listening to Jesus in the way Mary listened? Now, Jesus provides the answer to that question in the next verse. He replies to Martha, 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 you are anxious and troubled about many things. Martha couldn't set aside the cups, the utensils, the bowls, the dishes, the trays, and the refreshments in order to devote some time to listen to Jesus' teaching because she was anxious and troubled about many things. Maybe she was anxious about making a great impression on the disciples as a host. Maybe she was anxious about the excellence of the food preparation, keeping her buzzing frenetically around the kitchen, hovering around the pots and the pans. Maybe she was anxious about what the other villagers would hear regarding her hospitality. Maybe she was stressed and overwhelmed because she had never hosted such important guests before, and she was fearful that her preparations were not up to par. And we don't know for certain. But one thing we do know is that her anxieties and troubles kept her occupied with running about serving at a time when she should have been sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening. And this same dynamic applies to us as well. See, if we're anxious and troubled, as an example, over what people think of us, we'll often be too occupied to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to His Word. Too occupied with the task of proving ourselves to others. Or if we're anxious and troubled about keeping up with the Joneses, we'll often be too occupied to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to His Word. Be too occupied with all these materialistic pursuits that we're chasing after. If we're anxious and troubled about the success of our children, we'll often be too occupied to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to His Word. We'll be too occupied with micromanaging the lives of our kids. If we're anxious and troubled about our own success, then we'll often be too occupied to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to His Word. Too occupied with promoting our career, taking on too many responsibilities, burdening ourselves far beyond what we ought to burden ourselves with because we don't know how to say no. We're afraid to say no. We're afraid it's going to hurt our careers. Too occupied. If we're anxious and troubled about a person we don't like, we'll often be too occupied to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to His Word. Too occupied with these resentful ruminations in our head. Too occupied with venting to others bitterly. Week in, week out, week in, week out. Venting about that person we don't like. Yeah, too occupied to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to His Word. If we're anxious and troubled about finding Mr. or Miss Right, we'll often be too occupied to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to His Word. Too occupied with pursuing our romantic interests. And because we're overwhelmed by these many anxieties and troubles, like Martha, we're liable to grow indignant with God. Her words to Jesus are echoed in our own thoughts towards Him. Do you not care? Do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. See, like Martha, we can demand the Lord to provide us with a quick fix for the issues that burden us. Give me a well-respected life. Give me a prosperous life. Make my children successful. Make me successful. Keep difficult people out of my life. Bring the right person into my life. But Jesus' response to Martha's demand is the same response He gives to our demand. He says to us, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many thing, but one thing is necessary. Richard, Richard, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. See, the reason why Martha was anxious and troubled about many things was because she deemed that those many things were necessary. There's the heart of her anxiety, of all her trouble, because she deemed that those many things were necessary. Necessary for a satisfying, fulfilling, worthwhile life. And the reason why we are anxious and troubled about many things is because we deem that those many things are necessary for a satisfying, fulfilling, worthwhile life. But Jesus clarifies to Martha that only one thing is necessary. What is that one thing? Turn to our third and final point. Sit at the Lord's feet and listen, because He is the good portion which will not be taken away. Verse 41 to 42. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. What is that one thing? The one thing that is truly necessary is what Mary has chosen. Mary chose the good portion which will not be taken away from her. Christ is the good portion which will not be taken away from us. It is Christ who alone is necessary. And we can be certain that this is true, because in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, we read, For all the promises of God find their yes in Him. God promises, as many of us already know, He promises to save His people from their sins. He promises to declare them righteous in His sight, to adopt them as His sons, to send His Holy Spirit into their hearts in order to provide them with a real, tangible, experiential sense of their sonship, of their adoption. He promises to take them out of Adam and the sin and death which enslaves all His descendants, and to put them in Christ so that they might receive the gift of righteousness and life. He promises to progressively transform them throughout their lifetime in the likeness of Christ's image. And He promises to work all things for the good of conforming them to the likeness of Christ's image. He promises to perfect and receive their souls into His presence at death, until He reunites their perfected souls with their glorified bodies on the day of resurrection, so that they may enjoy God. In both body and soul, forever and ever. These promises and more are all yes to everyone who is in Christ. Because Christ has done all that is necessary to secure these promises of God for them. That's why the good news is good news. Good news is not about us securing the promise. The good news is that Christ has done all that is necessary to secure these promises for everyone who is in Him. And so the more our faith matures, the more we will realize how Christ Jesus and all the promises of God He has secured for us is fully sufficient to bring us joy, peace, and satisfaction in life. See, That's the mark of a mature faith. Not, I need this, I need that, I need this, I need that, I need this long list of conditions met in my life in order to be a satisfied, fulfilled, worthwhile person. No. Here's the mark of a mature faith. I don't need this. I don't need that. I don't need this. I don't need that. I don't need that. I don't need that. I mean, it'll be nice to have it, but I don't need it. I don't need it. There's only one thing that is necessary. One thing that I need. It's Christ. It's Christ and all the promises of God that find their yes in Him. That's all that is necessary. And as we grow in faith, the more we will realize that indeed there is only one thing that is necessary in life. Christ Jesus, our good portion, which will never be taken away from us. See, we're so troubled, anxious, even right now as we listen to this sermon, so troubled, anxious, because we believe we need many, many, many things for a fulfilling and worthwhile life. And some of us are bitter and resentful and have been for many years because we have seen that we never received those many, 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 many things that we once hoped we would receive for that fulfilling and worthwhile life. We're so troubled and anxious because we believe we need many, many things for a fulfilling, worthwhile, satisfying life. And so we waste our time and energy chasing after those many, many things which only wind up burdening us with incessant worry and frustration, which in turn distracts us as a distracted Martha from the one whose gospel alone can bring us true, lasting joy in a way those many, many things never, ever can. As born again children of God, the key to breaking out of the prison of our many anxieties and troubles is to realize the truth of what Jesus said to Martha in the closing verses of our passage. Read it again. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Not many things are necessary, one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Have we realized that the many things we are anxious and troubled about are not necessary? Like right now, as we sit in the pews, your minds are spinning about all these things, troubled, anxious, frustrated, discouraged, depressed. Jesus' word to us is, those things are not necessary. Do we realize more and more that Christ and all the promises of God that find their yes in Him are all that is necessary for our joy and satisfaction, both here in this earthly life and forever in eternity with Him? See, the more we realize this truth, the more our lives will be freed from the crippling effect of anxiety, more lives will have a consistent, stable sense of satisfied peace and joy. And that consistent, stable foundation of peace and joy is what brings blessing to the people who are around us. You don't burden them all the time. Meet my needs, meet my needs, meet my needs. No, 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 no. See, that's why the world is in darkness. Because everyone is so burdened by all these many, many, many things. Constantly looking to others, meet my needs. No. When we have that consistent, stable sense of satisfied peace and joy, because we've realized this truth, that Christ alone and all the promises of God that find their yes in Him is all that is necessary for my life, then we'll truly begin to become blessing unto others. Not as those who burden others with our needs, but those who can bless others, focus on them, and look to meet their needs. And so let's close now in prayer. Heavenly Father, I do pray that your word would now take root in our hearts. We thank you that you care for us, that you're not just some ruthless taskmaster who just tells us do this and do that until we wear ourselves thin, exhausted, worn out. Not at all. But what we see here is Jesus, who is Lord, God Himself, incarnate into the world, who cares very, very much that we are not anxious and troubled about many things. Who cares very, very much that we would have the good portion, that we would have Christ, who will not be taken away from us, that we would have the one thing that truly is necessary. And this is great evidence, O God. In fact, all the evidence that we need, Lord, that you love us, you care for us. And so I pray that your word now may strengthen us. In Jesus' name we pray.